From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and founder of Let the Bible Speak. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
Our text for this morning is found in Mark chapter 2 and verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Faith is full of inventions. The house was full. A crowd blocked up the door. But faith found a way of getting at the Lord and placing the palsied man before him. If we cannot get sinners where Jesus is by ordinary methods, we must use extraordinary ones. It seems, according to Luke 5:19, that a tiling had to be removed, which would make dust and cause a measure of danger to those below. But where the case is very urgent, we must not mind running some risks and shocking some proprieties. Jesus was there to heal, and therefore, fall what might, faith ventured all, so that her poor paralyzed charge might have his sins forgiven. Oh, that we had more daring faith among us! Cannot we, beloved, seek it this morning for ourselves and for our fellow workers? And will we not try today to perform some gallant act for the love of souls and the glory of the Lord? The world is constantly inventing. Genius serves all the purposes of human desire. Cannot faith invent too, and reach by some new means the outcasts who lie perishing around us? It was the presence of Jesus which excited victorious courage in the forbearers of the palsied man. Is not the Lord among us now? Have we seen His face for ourselves this morning? Have we felt His healing power in our own souls? If so, then through door, through window, or through roof, let us, breaking through all impediments, labor to bring poor souls to Jesus. All means are good and decorous when faith and love are truly set on winning souls. If hunger for bread can break through stone walls, surely hunger for souls is not to be hindered in its efforts. O Lord, make us quick to suggest methods of reaching Thy poor, sin-sick ones, and bold to carry them out at all hazards.
O Savior, as my eyes behold the wonders of Thy might untold, the heavens in glorious light arrayed, the vast creation Thou hast made. And yet to think Thou lovest me, my heart
If you've been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Dr. Alan Cairns brings the concluding portion of the message called Christ, the End of the Law, part of this series of studies in the Law of God. The text, Romans 10, verse 4, says that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns has shown that the aim of God's law is to bring men to see their need of Christ for salvation. God will accept nothing less than a perfect righteousness. And by his sinless life and atoning death, Christ has merited that for all who trust in him. The glorious truth of the gospel is that God imputes Christ's perfect righteousness to sinners who rely completely on him. Now to conclude this message, Christ, the End of the Law. Here is Dr. Cairns.
Notice this very carefully, that in Christ both the precept and the penalty of the law were satisfied. Jesus kept its precept, and yet he paid its penalty. And thus, he is set forth in God's Word as Jesus Christ, the Righteous One. Jesus Christ, the Righteous One. And that's why we can say finally that God imputes the righteousness of Christ to every believer. I have taken the time tonight to establish from Scripture that Christ kept the law in His life, that Christ satisfied the law in His death, that thereby the Lord Jesus Christ presented to God a perfect righteousness, which the law of God accepts as such and finds no fault therein. It's important because, listen, that is the only case in the history of the world of a man fulfilling God's law and presenting to God an absolutely perfect righteousness which the law of God accepts. It's the only case. From Adam till the end of the age, there is not one other comes within a billion miles of fulfilling God's law, but Jesus did it perfectly. And that is the only righteousness that will get us to heaven. If we have that righteousness, we'll be saved. If we do not have that righteousness, we will not be saved. God fulfills the great purpose of the law in making us legally righteous by imputing to us, by placing to our account, the righteousness of Christ through faith. Now we get into a host of scriptures, and I will bite my tongue and take a deep breath here, because if I were simply to ignore the clock, then we'd be here for a long time, because this is not only the great theme of the New Testament, the great theme of the Bible, but it happens to be my favorite theme in Scripture. And any preacher that doesn't preach it is not preaching the gospel, and any preacher who preaches it can never get enough time to preach it more. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:30, Christ is made unto us righteousness. Christ is made unto us righteousness. I've already referred to 2 Corinthians 5:21. He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now let me give you a little excerpt from Scottish theology. One of the great Scottish theologians, man who has written, in my view, perhaps the best book of its kind on the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the late Hugh Martin. And in his book on the atonement, he deals with this verse, and he talks about, don't be put off by the theologically sounding language, he talks about counter-imputation. Think of it. All our sin imputed to Christ. All the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. That is the gospel. This is a legal transaction. The Lord Jesus Christ did not morally become corrupt. There was no moral change in His character when God made Him to be sin for us. This is a legal thing. God laying all the legal liability of our sins upon the Lord Jesus in order that He, having paid the full price, would confer upon us all the legal merits of His righteousness, so that all that we deserved was laid on Jesus, and all that Jesus deserved is laid on His believing people. That is the gospel. What a glorious gospel it is. That's why Jeremiah said, "This is the name whereby He shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness." That was the great title that we sang in that hymn tonight that Dr. Gingery reminded us, summed up the testimony of the saintly Robert Murray McSheehan. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. The gospel is that Jesus Christ confers a righteousness upon His people that is absolutely perfect, lacking nothing. Nothing. So that the law of God is satisfied. And instead of being a clamorous witness for the prosecution and our destruction, it is now a witness for our salvation. The law of God is satisfied. Can we not therefore say with Isaiah 61 and 10, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord"? You know, if you can't rejoice in justification, I really don't know if you're saved. Now that may sound a little extreme, but I honestly doubt the state of any man's soul if he doesn't rejoice in justification. When I think of the things that people get into to try and make them feel good and to work up what they think is spiritual joy, it's crazy the way people try to work up emotions just to feel good. Listen, if you had come to understand the gospel, if you'd come to understand that all my demerit was placed on Jesus and all His positive merit is placed on me, you'll rejoice all right. My sins are gone. Where are they? They're washed away in the blood of Calvary. My unrighteousness is covered forever. With what? With the absolute perfection of the righteousness of Christ. So we can say with Isaiah 61, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness." As I say, this is the gospel. As we close tonight, let me invite you to read with me Romans 5, verse 19 through 21. This is Paul's great summation of the message. Romans 5, verse 19. "As by one man's disobedience many were made," and the word has the idea of constituted. I think I wouldn't be adding to the meaning of the text if I were to say "were legally constituted." So as by one man's disobedience many were legally constituted sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made or legally constituted righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Remember what we have seen already. The law exposes sin. The law always makes you understand how great your sin is. But here's one of the great statements of the Bible and its gospel. "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Where sin abounded, grace superabounded. Let's stop for a moment. Where did sin abound? You don't need to go to the ends of the earth You just need to look in your own heart. That's where sin abounded. But where sin abounded, grace superabounded. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. You notice that? How does grace reign as a king in your heart? Through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen to me very clearly. There is no saving grace apart from perfect righteousness. Grace reigns through righteousness to eternal life. And it's in this way that the end of the law is Christ for righteousness to every believer. Do you know this truth? Let me put it another way, as Paul does here in Romans 10. Have you submitted yourself to this righteousness which God has provided in Christ? The word submitted is a very graphic word. Have you placed yourself under the righteousness of God in Christ? There's something in the pride of man that wants to say, as the Humanist Manifesto does, for example, that man's salvation can never come from outside of himself. It must be inside. There's something in every man that wants to believe he can do what it takes to save his own soul, or at least he can help. No, no. You're a sinner. By nature, by birth, by practice, by choice. Spiritually, a corpse. Legally, condemned to eternal death. You're in the death chamber now if you're without Christ, and you're just awaiting final execution. You can do nothing to provide a righteousness with God. Will you submit to the righteousness that's outside of yourself? Will you place yourself under that righteousness, confessing your sin, your wickedness, your ill desert, your evil merit? And take by faith the promise of God and the righteousness of Jesus Christ as your passport to glory. Nothing can take the place of this righteousness. Not sincerity, not religious zeal. Without this righteousness, you must perish. With it, you must be saved. As I thought on that, I wrote down two lines. I've never read them anywhere, but to me they're worth remembering. There is no place in heaven for the righteousness of man. There is no place in hell for the righteousness of Christ. Submitted to this righteousness, you can't perish. You cannot perish. You will be saved. for the end of God's law, its aim and its fulfillment, is Christ for righteousness to every believing soul. May God bring you to grasp this truth tonight for your salvation and for your assurance in grace, for your peace and comfort in the gospel, and to free you up to serve your God in the joy and the victory of saving grace.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.